And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast.
We're back, boys.
Back for another Saturday episode.
Yes, sir.
1 week away from Thanksgiving. How are you feeling about that?
Well, I got a lot to be grateful for. There's a lot of things happening here. How are you doing?
I'm good. Definitely that grateful time of year, right?
Yeah, totally. Even though the Jazz losses, we're grateful for the
grateful
Jazz.
Grateful for our one win a week, right?
That's right.
What we ought to say. We got a great episode prepared for you today. We'll be talking about the last three Jazz games, of course, our one win of the week and our losses. We'll talk about some 2K ratings updates for our Jazz players and also some stats around the team. And then we'll talk about some trade rumors, who we've been watching around the NBA, and some rookies. And then we'll catch you with some Mammoth, BYU sports. And then, a great episode.
Don't forget to check us out on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us there. Check out our recent episodes. We've talked about a lot of really cool stuff. This is episode 89 of Tuned In Jazz. Ooh, all right. Three games this week. If we ended at halftime every week game this week,
yeah.
I think we'd be in good shape. Maybe not the Bulls game, but kind of a crazy week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how we could start off so well and then end so poorly,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Hard to say. Do you really think, of course, we barely beat the Bulls in double OT?
Yeah, it was a great game, though. I did see the second over. I saw the second overtime. That was a...
But
crazy game.
Do you think in your mind, if we win two halves, does that count as another win?
That's true.
Two first halves?
Yeah, technically. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Probably, yeah, no.
Maybe they start doing scoring like hockey, where it's like, you know how you get 1 point for an overtime loss? It's like,
yeah.
If you get a halftime win, they give you half a point or something.
Yeah,
you
know? That'd be solid. We'd have another win in that case.
Yeah.
But at least we beat the Bulls.
Yeah, great game.
Bulls have been on that skid ever since they like started off the season pretty well. Now they even have a 500 record where they
barely
were like 5-1 at one point.
Yeah, 6-6 right now. Yeah, I honestly, that shot by Keontae at the end of the game, I don't know if you saw it. I think it was
clutch.
The go-ahead bucket. That was an elite shot. I just was really impressed with how he played. Of course, our boy Lowry scored 47, almost another 50 bomb.
Yeah,
he was just special. And those two guys just really did the bulk of our scoring.
Yeah, I mean, I think last episode we were talking about like losing Anthony Edwards and them, and we're like, dang, it's just nice to have star power because Anthony Edwards could just give you a win every once in a while.
Totally,
kind of felt like that this game with Lowry and Keontae, even though they're not like Anthony Edwards level, like they played like just stars. Really, they were the reason we won.
Yeah, and I think based off of what we've seen this week, I think Keontae's like, I'm getting more and more excited based on what we're seeing, because he's like started taking elite shots and like he looks comfortable taking them. I didn't feel like that most games last year, but this year he just seems more comfortable.
Yeah, and he's getting to the line every game now.
Oh, yeah.
It's, like, not even a question. Like, he's going to get at least 6 free throws made, like, every game.
And he's not scoring the same way every time. Sometimes it's 3, sometimes it's mid-range. He attacks the basket a lot, which leads to those free throws. And he makes his free throws, which is
he's very good.
Just the good part,
line.
So.
Yeah, I think one thing that's interesting is, of course, Lowry had 47.
Yeah.
Probably our best player this game. He just made the shots when he needed to. He also got to the free throw line, just played very well, kept us in the game because the Bulls themselves were playing pretty well.
Yeah.
But then what was cool to me is down the stretch, he was deferring to Keontae. He was giving the ball up to him. He was like kind of hyping Keontae up, trying to like make this his game too, even though he already had 47 points, right? And so I think it's cool. And I think if I look back at Keontae's career thus far, this is probably his best game.
Oh, totally.
In my opinion, just he hit clutch buckets. He was keeping us in the game. Just amazing ending as well, and just very good for Keontae.
Yeah, totally. I think on that note, Isaiah had a really good game too, 16 points, 4-for-6. He shot 11 free throws as well, so he was being aggressive. I'd like to see him make more than 8 of them. I know that's nitpicky a little bit.
He's dishing it out, 9 assists.
Yeah, 9 assists, 4 rebounds, a couple of steals. So, yeah, I think good game overall for those guys. Still a lot of young guys not getting a lot of minutes, but I'll just leave that for another episode.
Yeah, somehow Ace Bailey started, but he only played 10 minutes.
10 minutes, yeah.
I think he's
maybe, plus 8, too.
So I want to say he had like gotten hurt. I'm trying to remember right, but it's just kind of interesting he only played 10.
Yeah.
And then, of course, on the Bulls side, it's kind of cool to see the return of Kobe Wyatt. Mm-hmm. He had 27 in his first game back, and he was already looking very good. So maybe the Bulls, now they got him, might be a little better. We'll see.
Josh Giddey's still just, I think, as of right now, even though the Bulls are sliding a little, Josh Giddey's setting up to be an all-star this year. 26-13-13 is crazy stat line. He's just playing really well.
You could argue that both teams won that trade because Thunder won a championship because of Caruso, and
totally.
Josh Giddey's maybe going to be an all-star. So
yeah,
great trade.
I'm happy for him too. I mean, the whole controversy that ended up not being true or whatever, those kind of things can ruin careers. So I'm glad that he had another opportunity to shine. So he's a great player.
Yeah, and he didn't beat us this game, so.
Yeah, that's right. I love it when players shine but don't beat us.
Yeah,
it's like
shine, but like
ideal, you know?
Yeah, and honestly, when I was watching this game, should not have gone into double overtime. Nope. We definitely fumbled the bag.
Definitely.
To not win in just regulation.
Mm-hmm.
But at least we got the win, right? Totally. We're all in Thanksgiving season. We got to be grateful.
Yeah, totally.
But then we had a couple losses.
Yeah, we did, unfortunately.
But you were at the Lakers game.
Yes, I did.
Tell us about that. You went out to L.A.?
Yeah, I got to travel to L.A., honestly, it was kind of cool because months ago I was like, okay, I want to see LeBron play. I wanted to see the Lakers stadium for a while. And then I kind of lost hope that I'd get to see LeBron play, but I was going to go anyways. And then that day, it's like, LeBron's going to make his debut. I was like,
let's go.
So it was pretty hype. I got to see
him. Did he do like all his like traditions and all that?
Yeah, we saw the chalk toss and some of his like pregame stuff. It was kind of, that was something really interesting to me is people were so interested in the pregame warmups. Like it was like people were on the edge of their seats watching him and Luka warm up. And I was like, this is kind of crazy. I've never seen anything like this before.
Yeah.
And then I got to see him play the first game of his 23rd season, which makes him the longest NBA player ever, which is crazy. Anyways, pretty cool. Crypto Arena's pretty sick. There were some things I wasn't a fan of, but I thought the arena, the environment was really, really cool. So I tried to keep it on the down low that I was a Jazz fan a little bit.
Yeah. But, seemed like Lakers didn't have much to get mad about.
No.
At least in the second half, they were kind of killing us, but in the first half, we were killing them.
Yeah.
Especially that first quarter.
Yeah, something interesting about this game, people around me, a bunch of Lakers fans are like, who's this Keontae George guy? Because first half, he was cooking. I mean, I think he had 26 in the first half or something like that.
Yeah.
Ended up with 34. He kind of cooled off a little, but Lowry also had a great game as per usual. I don't know. I felt pretty good about how we played. I didn't think we were going to win this game, but we started pretty good, I think.
Yeah, I think we just got to learn how to balance out our scoring because I feel like
totally.
Lowry and Keontae have just been absolute stars, but haven't really seen some consistent pieces. Like, we'll have a good game from Bryce Sensabaugh here and there, but not every time. We'll have a decent game from Svi Mykhailiuk, but it's like, do we want to rely on that?
Yeah.
Right? Like, because he's not really our future. So, I don't know. It's just hard to see, like, what's everybody else, you know? Because we've had good games from different players, but it doesn't really seem like they've cemented their roles yet.
Yeah. I think that's, like, one of my biggest gripes so far this season. I'm sure we'll talk about this in our next game, too, but, like, I just feel like we've had some weird lineup. We haven't figured out our lineup or rotation yet. I just say at times, like, Will Hardy will stick with the same lineup that can't score the ball for 3 or 4 minutes, and then we get behind or we lose our lead, and I'm like, I don't know. But maybe that's just an issue of, like, we don't have the players. Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah.
Because obviously Lowry and Keontae can't play every minute of every game, but
And they try.
They do try. So I don't know. That kind of felt like a little what this was for me. We have some good lineups that can play good basketball, but sometimes when you got Cody Williams and and on the floor, it's a little rough. So
it is rough. But I guess that does pretty well lead into the second game, because pretty much that Laker and Thunder game went the same way. Yeah. Copy-paste, like, great first quarter, and then we slowly give up the lead until we lose by a decent amount. But this Thunder game, our second biggest loss of the season, other than that Timberwolves one, we lost by, like, 30.
That might be the biggest unravel I've ever seen from the Jazz low-key.
Right, I mean, and in such a... we were up or tied or something, and then 5 minutes later, we're down by, like, 25. It's just crazy how that
worked. We outscored them by 14 in the first quarter. I mean, we were just... 44 points in the first quarter.
We made almost every three-pointer. We knew that was going to cool off. But honestly, both teams shot very well.
Yeah,
the Thunder ended up shooting 60% from the field, which is absurd. Yeah, and then we ended up shooting 48% from the field. So, but we were just leaving shooters open because we were just trying to not let Shea ISO at all.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's probably why they shot so well. We just kept leaving them open.
I honestly, I know this is the big topic conversation around the league, but the whole Shea thing is so frustrating to watch. It's got to be frustrating as a defender, too, where you're, like, trying to guard this guy and you just literally can't even be near him at all, or else you're going to get a foul.
Yeah, there's probably at least 6 to 8 free throws where the whole arena was like,
are you
really?
Are you serious?
He just fell, and they called it, late.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. And I know we're a little bit further away, being able to see in the arena, but I don't know. It seems like this doesn't happen every game, but he's totally getting foul bait and foul merch, and all that felt pretty true this game.
And I think in general, great players are going to get to the line because you're trying so hard to guard them. So I don't even mind that he shoots free throws, but it's this whole thing where he's flailing and you're and you could tell he's actively going for the foul. He's literally just dipping his head and coming up through your arm, and you're like, that's not a basketball move.
Yeah, very James Harden-esque.
Yeah, you're literally just trying to bait. And anyways, he is an incredible player, though, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, he makes most of the shots even with the fouls anyways.
Yeah,
so
9 for 14 from the field, 3 for 3 from three. He's so special.
Yeah, he played well. Felt like his 31 points were very under the radar.
Oh, totally.
A lot of them came from the line.
In three quarters, too. He was pretty much out the whole fourth. So.
I think some things that I note, we gave up 144 points. That's not acceptable. That's crazy. I feel like our defense without Walker Kessler has just kind of plummeted.
Totally.
Not griping too hard, but I feel like we give up 140 points on the regular now. It's kind of crazy.
I feel like we have little patches where we look okay. I mean, I shouldn't say only, but they only had 67 in halftime. But that means they scored almost 80 points in the second half. I mean, I don't know. Me and you were talking in the game last night. We're like, who's our guy? Who's our defender on the floor without Walker? I mean, Taylor Hendricks theoretically should be the guy, but he's not playing for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's hard to say.
But. Yeah, I was thinking about that, and I think I want to point out, a couple guys. One, Filipowski. Just, it hurt to watch him, try and guard the rim because he, doesn't... There's a couple times he tried to take a charge and transition. He's just not playing very good, rim protector defense. And so, that hurt us a little bit. He had one block, finally, so maybe he's learning. And then our boy Cody Williams, he was guarding Shea for part of this game.
Yeah.
I know he's not going to stop Shea from scoring, but he didn't really look like he was that much better than anybody else on our team.
No.
And so if he can't play defense, why is he on the floor is kind of my thing. I'm starting to give up on Cody Williams.
I mean, he played 20 minutes, 0 for 4 from the field, 0 for 3 from three, and he was minus 33. You can't have a worse game than that.
Yeah, and it showed when you watched.
Oh, my gosh. And yet he's still playing over guys like Taylor Hendricks, and he's playing the same amount of minutes as Ace Bailey for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I know at the beginning of the season you had some optimism about Cody. Yeah. Are you still kind of optimistic, or have you lost it yet?
I still think he's got the tools to be that player. I just don't know what the problem is.
He's still very young.
Yeah.
21 years old, but it's already been, this is the second year, and he doesn't look any better than last year throughout the offseason.
I guess my kind of logic was like last year, most of his stat lines were like 0-for-1 because he just wasn't shooting. He was like, it almost looked like he was scared. And this year, I see why he wasn't shooting last year, because he's just not a good scorer at all. And I think the end is near for Cody, not in life, but in the game.
Yeah, this is just a stat. I don't know if you heard of like box plus minus. I was looking at some advanced stats today.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to the worst box plus minus in the NBA, and I guess...
For this year or last year?
So far this year, with 15 games. To explain what that means is, it's like the estimate of points they contribute above average, right? So average player, he's going to have a 0 if you're just dead average on contributing points. Whether it's defensively stopping people or offensively.
Totally.
Cody Williams has like a negative 10 box plus minus, which essentially means him on the court means we're going to give up 10 more points than when he's off the court, which is kind of crazy. And that's like literally worst in the league for the amount of minutes that he's played.
That's so crazy.
So like literally the advanced stats don't like Cody Williams either.
Yeah.
So I don't know. In my opinion, I think it's time to move on from Cody Williams in the lineup.
Yeah.
Let's send him to the G League and let him just work there for a while. And if he doesn't show anything in the G League, I think that's it. He has an option next year. Do you think there's a good chance the Jazz might not pick that up?
Oh, totally. I mean, especially because, I mean, the Jazz still have a lot of draft picks. I don't think we should be using them all, but if we don't need to be wasting time on players if we've got other young guys coming in. Hopefully we end up getting our pick next year and the Thunder don't get our pick. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. The Thunder is just such a good team, I think. They're 16-1. Do you think that they have a chance of being better than 73-9 this year?
There's definitely a chance. I just think there's going to... I don't know. They already have been winning this many games without Jalen Williams.
Yeah.
Because we know they're going to have injuries throughout the year, because everybody does.
Yeah.
I was just thinking injuries happen, and usually that would cause more than 9 losses. But the way they're playing right now, I honestly think them or the Nuggets are in that contention. I feel like the Nuggets are as good of a team.
I think
they just have
really
a couple
good
extra losses right now. But
yeah. I was looking. There's like another advanced stat I was looking at. Shout out to B-Ball University on Instagram. They have some cool stats, but they were showing team efficiency. So it's offensive rating, defensive rating compared to league average. It's kind of interesting. The Thunder are minus 12 almost on defensive rating from the league average. And the second place is minus 5 with the Pistons. And then, the Nuggets are number 1 on offensive, plus 7. Thunder a couple spots behind them. But those two teams are pretty clearly the best. Yeah. I think the Rockets got some things to figure out, but they're going to be pretty good too.
Yeah, Rockets are a good defense. I feel like the Thunder just like push the envelope on what's a foul like so close.
Totally.
That like as a casual fan, like I'm watching, I'm like, isn't that a foul? Isn't that a foul? And I guess like the refs like don't consider a lot of that fouls. So like they're really like pushing the envelope to the point where they're not quite fouling, but they're like as physical as they can be, which is...
Is
amazing. Like if you can do that, you're gonna shut down a lot of teams.
Totally. I think one thing I love about their roster is that it really feels to me like they've set up a culture, which I don't feel with a lot of teams, because like a lot of the Thunder players are like cut from the same cloth. In my opinion, they're just like rugged. They know how to score at like multiple levels.
They play defense.
They can switch everything. Yeah, they play defense. They all play their role. I mean, so like it doesn't matter if Jalen Williams is out, because you got other guys who are just going to step in and play their role. And I don't feel like the Jazz have that, but hopefully we'll get there eventually, I think.
Yeah. I also want to talk real fast, just mention a couple of points.
Mm-hmm.
One, Taylor Hendricks needs a chance to play.
Absolutely.
I think just because we've seen such terrible play from Cody Williams, just just give Hendricks his minutes, please. Yeah. That's one thing I'm going to push for. And then our boy Bryce Sensabaugh, love the guy. I think he should play a little bit more, but he just cannot defend.
Yeah.
to save his life.
Fortunately.
He's working on it, we know. And then the last thing, I know you'll have some thoughts on this. Ace Bailey, he played very well last night. Just played like 20 minutes. Do you think, like, in this last game and maybe in the team, Ace Bailey's like one of... Would you say, like, maybe he could be one of our best defenders right now?
Oh, totally. I mean, I just love the effort. I mean, he was switching. He had his hands up all game. He rarely got... Even Lowry a couple times got caught just sitting there on defense and got cooked. But Ace just is, like, active, very active on defense. And I really appreciate that. Not a lot of our guys do that.
Yeah.
So.
I know, like, towards the beginning of the season, he wasn't as great of a defender.
Yeah,
felt
he's
like,
definitely learning.
But he's already started looking better. He's got 3 steals this past game.
Yeah.
And so if the reason he's not on the floor is because of his defense... I don't know if that's a good enough reason, because he looked great and he's got the tools to be a good defender just like anybody else.
Yeah. I think my issue with it is just in general, if we're rebuilding, Will Hardy needs to be giving minutes to guys who need it. I mean, as much as I appreciate Lowry and Keontae getting 40 minutes a game, like, you can give Ace 30, you can give him 28. Like, and then even on top of that,
Walter Clayton could get 20.
Totally. And even on top of that, it was frustrating to watch sometimes where Ace would just run straight to the corner. And I'm sure that's not him. He's an aggressive player in general.
And he's a good corner shooter, but he needs to be featured more.
You're like, bring him up a couple times, give him the ball. And he was making great passes too. I don't think he takes selfish shots. So I don't know. That's been frustrating, I think, when Will Hardyson. I wish he would focus on player development a little bit more, but
I agree. I think Ace Bailey's not a player you want just corner sitting.
No.
If anything, he could be one of our like focal points of our offense, where like he makes difficult shots and we got to be able to help him learn how to find the open man, right?
Totally.
I want the offense to kind of run through him rather than in the corner, right?
Yeah. And making him like a weapon is going to open up more shots for Lowry, for Keontae. Like,
yeah, Lowry doesn't need the ball, right? So,
yeah, we were joking last night. At one point, Ace is in the corner and Chet was just sitting in the middle of the paint. You're like, they don't even respect him.
Yeah.
Like, but he should be respected. He's that good of a scorer. So I don't know. It's frustrating, but we'll get there.
And then just a last thing. I'm just picky about this. I don't want Yusuf Nurkic to dribble the basketball like at all. He's already averaging one of the most turnovers in the league.
Yeah.
Please don't dribble, Yusuf.
Yeah.
And then... just in general, Will Hardy's been kind of stubborn, is kind of what I feel like. He just needs to change the lineups a little bit for the young guys.
Totally.
And I think he needs to change a little bit of the offense to be a little more Ace Bailey, we'll say.
Totally. I'd say a little less Lowry. I love Lowry, but he doesn't need to be like, he doesn't need to touch the ball every possession, I don't think. And I think that's pretty predictable for teams because they'll just shut Lowry down and then we don't have anywhere to go.
That's what the Thunder did.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, we've got our player of the week this week.
Yes, sir.
And I was looking through the games and I think it was pretty obvious.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Keontae George.
Okay, that's who I would have said too.
Okay, good. Okay, good. If you look at his like last couple games, minimum 20 points a game. Yep. He was probably our best scorer against the Lakers, where he had like 33 or something.
Yeah, he balled out.
Against the Bulls, we literally said that was like maybe his best game of his career.
Totally.
Like hitting clutch shots. And so, no brainer, giving it to Keontae George. His second player of the week, if I'm not mistaken. His third player of the week. So, every other week we're giving it to him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's playing at such a high level. I mean... I don't know. We've been complaining about his shooting, and I really do feel like it's getting better. He's taking better shots, at least, which has been encouraging, and he definitely deserves it. I like that pick. Well, we have 3 games coming up this week. 2 at home, 1 on the road. But first, we start here at our house. We play the Lakers again. What are you feeling? Can we get the win against the Lakers?
I feel like we do have a better chance that since we're at home. in LA, we lost by 14 to the Lakers.
Yeah.
So there's that. I mean, that's not a huge margin.
Yeah.
But then again, the Lakers have been playing very well. They're like 11-6.
LeBron's back.
Currently, LeBron's back, so that's another problem. So I'm going to give the Lakers the win.
Okay.
But I think it's not going to be... I don't think it's going to be a 30-point loss like the Thunder, but I'd say lose by 14. Kind of similar to on the road.
Yeah. I'm kind of in the same spot as you. I think Jazz lose by 8. I feel like I say this every year. I promise I'm not a Lakers fan, just a LeBron James fan. But I really like the Lakers roster. I think they're really good without LeBron. And there's questions about whether he would fit in or whether he'd ruin the chemistry. But clearly he just came in and played a role. And I thought that was really cool. Anyways, I really like the roster. I think Jazz lose by 8. But I think it could be a good game. I could see us going up early again.
Mm-hmm. And then we take it back-to-back.
Yeah,
fly out to San Francisco and play the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, not
who
so
have been
good.
Honestly, they've been a little disappointing.
Totally.
They're 500 on the season. They've had a couple bad losses. I think they're currently they've lost every game in November.
Yeah,
not quite. They've lost their last three games to the Magic, the Heat, and the Trailblazers. If that helps you. So yeah. Do you think we could beat the Warriors? I know it's on the road. What do you think?
I wanted to make this my win of the week, but I think it's going to be a close game. But I think the Jazz lose by 2. Steph Curry, especially with us struggling defensively, Steph Curry is a tough one to face when you can't really guard anybody. So I'm going to say Jazz lose a close one. So
yeah, I'm going to say it's closer than that Lakers game. I'm going to say the Jazz lose by 8.
Okay, respect.
I think Steph Curry will just will them to a win, especially since they've lost their last three.
Yeah.
They definitely need a win.
I like that. Then that brings us, we go back home. We play all the all the California teams this week, it feels like. Come back home and play the Kings in our also an NBA or Emeritus Cup game, right? What are you feeling about matchup with the Kings?
I think it's our one win of the week. These Kings have been terrible. And maybe in addition, one win of the week, our one in-season tournament win.
Yeah, total.
Because, yeah, we haven't won any yet. So
yeah, we got a tough group, I think.
Yeah, I just don't think the Kings are worse than the Jazz.
They're really
in
bad.
A couple of categories. And it's like, it's just painful to watch Kings basketball
really
right
bad.
Now. Kind of similar to some Jazz games, but... I think we're at home. We won an in-season tournament win. I think we can beat the Kings. So I'll say we win by 11.
Ooh, okay. I agree with you. I think it's our win of the week. I put win by 6. The Kings, I feel like, are setting up for a full-scale rebuild. I really feel like they're about to blow things up over there. Also, yeah. I just saw Sabonis is going to be out 2 to 3 weeks, so he won't be there.
Interesting,
that's,
yeah.
That's that like hurts. Their one guy that's been playing well this season.
Zach LaVine's been all right, but he can only get you so far.
DeMar will have a random game where he looks like Kobe Bryant, but other than that. I think Jazz win by 6. It could be a good game still. I don't know. They got some young guys who are pretty good, but so do we. So take the win.
I've got some stats around the Jazz and around the NBA for you.
Okay.
I'm just curious if you can guess. I was talking earlier about like box plus minus, and it kind of tells you the story, like who on our team is our best offenders and best defenders, right? And so in terms of that, I want you to try and guess who's been our best offensive player and our best defensive player, just straight up analytics, starting with offense.
I would think it has to be Lowry, just the based off the scoring piece. Is that right?
Yeah, he's actually like top of the league in that.
Dang, okay.
So yeah, if you go to like the entirety of the NBA, the best offensive plus minus is Nikola Jokic with 12.4, and Lauri Markkanen has a 7.
Oh, wow.
So he's like, yeah, he's top of the league. When he's on the court, we score more points.
Yeah.
Easily. So, and then Keontae's got 2, so he's our second best. And then defensively, who do you got?
Gonna get this is a tough one because we really don't have. I'm gonna guess maybe Yusef Nurkic, rim protector.
So it's actually Walker Kessler if you count those five games, but not counting him, you're actually right. It is Yusef Nurkic. And then I feel like that's mostly because of rebounding, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
But then surprisingly, Elijah Harkless is second. He also has 1.5.
He's had a couple scrappy minutes at the end of games.
Yeah, honestly, like if we're looking for a defender on our team, he's right there in the G League. So
I'm saying
Elijah Harkless makes a lot of sense. And then I guess Yusef Nurkic, he's all right.
Yeah.
But then talk about percentages a little bit.
Okay.
Want you to try and guess our top two and worst two field goal and three-point shooters on our team. So starting with field goal, who'd you say is like our top two?
Top two is probably, I'd probably guess Yusef Nurkic again. Seems like bigs sometimes have...
He's actually towards the bottom. He's like bottom four.
Okay.
Yeah, he's shooting 38%.
Oh, I guess he does shoot
on the season.
I guess he does shoot a lot. I was thinking more of like the Rudy Gobert thing where it's like he only takes a couple shots at the rim.
Yeah.
I don't know. In that case, maybe Ace. Ace is probably up there.
Ace is number like five, I'd say.
Oh, really?
Four, maybe three if you count some guys that haven't really played that much.
I don't know then. I guess it's actually
Isaiah Collier.
Oh, okay.
He's shooting 59% on the season.
Makes sense.
Pretty good start for him. He's actually shooting 50% from three as well.
Killer.
So he's leading in both categories.
Okay.
And then in terms of second guy, it's actually Lowry, which even more impressive for him. He's shooting 48% from the field and 38% from three.
Yeah, he takes like at least 20 shots a game. So
yeah, which also means Isaiah is literally the only one on our team that shoots 40% or more from three. And then who'd you say is like our two worst?
Probably still Keontae would be my guess.
No.
Oh, Cody Williams is 100% the worst.
Yeah, yeah. Cody Williams 100% is the worst. He's shooting 32% and 18% from three. Literally,
yeah,
probably
that's
worst
pretty
in the league.
Bad.
And then second worst, who'd you say?
Is maybe, I don't know, is Kyle Anderson in there?
No, he's actually kind of, he's decent.
Maybe Bryce. Bryce takes a lot of crazy shots sometimes.
No, he's like middle of the pack.
Oh, really? I don't know who it is then.
It's actually Taylor Hendricks.
Oh, okay.
Even though he's only played 10 games, he's shooting 35% and 21%. So not great. But yeah, overall, I'm surprised most, like Isaiah Collier's actually been balling. He's been making a lot of shots for taking a little bit less right now.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, NBA 2K had another ratings update. It's always kind of interesting to watch our Jazz guys move up and down. A couple of small movers, not as big as our first patch. We had some guys go up and down by 3 and 4, but this one, Lowry went up 8. He's now an 88 overall, which is great. He should keep going up, I think. Keontae went up another one. He's at 83. Isaiah went up 1 to 79. And the only guy who really fell at all was Flip, went down 1 to 76. Ace went back up 2 to 75.
Good.
Yeah, he dropped for some reason this first patch.
Yeah,
so.
Just because of that flu.
So, anyways, some movers for the Jazz. Obviously, Walker Kessler stays still at 83, but pretty good.
And then we've got a little bit of news around the NBA.
Yeah.
Honestly, not anything too crazy. We're not quite to the part of the season where trades are heating up.
No, not too much.
I'd say, but we're getting a little bit of trade rumors. But I guess in general, who've you been watching? Anybody's like played well in your eyes recently?
Oh man, I would say the Pistons are pretty hot right now. I think they've won 8 straight. I think right now they have the second best.
11 straight.
Oh, 11 straight.
Yep.
I checked a couple days ago. Maybe they won. Honestly, and I've been surprised. I was looking at some stats. Jalen Duren is playing out of his mind right now. He is playing at a really high level. Yeah. It hasn't just been Cade. I think we've talked a lot about how the East is wide open and the Pistons might be ready to make a run there because I don't see a lot of other East teams that are that hot right now. So that's pretty incredible.
Yep. I think they're definitely a contender in the East.
Totally.
If you haven't been like paying attention to the standings, the Raptors are number 2 in the East. If you didn't realize, they're on a 6-game win streak.
Brandon Ingram's playing out of his mind right now.
Yeah, they're like actually playing as a team. I don't know if I believe it's going to sustain itself, but I could see them getting that 8 seed.
I could see them in the playoffs, yeah.
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 Because last year, I think they were, what, like a bottom 8 team in the league? Yeah, but without Brandon Ingram all of last year, now he's back.
Yeah.
So, but somehow they're number 2. I'm shocked, honestly. I haven't watched any Toronto Raptors basketball, but they've been winning a lot of games.
Yeah, and there's some really bad teams in the East this year. I mean, the bottom 4, Wizards, Pacers, Nets, and Hornets all have like 2-3 wins each. And then jumps to the Celtics, which is a pretty big gap at 11. So yeah, there's a lot of room there. So
yeah, it seems like your tanking's like already begun.
Yeah, pretty much.
Especially in the East right now.
Do you think that the Jazz tanking has already begun, or do you think we're not there yet?
As sad as it is, I don't think we're there yet. I think we're still trying to win games.
I think we're unintentionally there, but
I think last year we were intentionally tanking because we had like more veterans.
Yeah.
This year we like are not intentionally tanking, but we're just bad.
We're really bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, because Colin Sexton could win us a few games last year.
Yeah.
And John Collins, and now we don't have that.
Yeah. The scary thing is that we're currently, there's 5 teams below us in the West, and there's probably 6 teams below us in the East, which means the Jazz are going to lose their pick if they don't start tanking soon.
Yeah,
maybe we're okay with that, but I don't know.
Yeah, the Dallas and Memphis both won their last game, so they're kind of creeping up on us. Same with LA. They've only got 4 wins, but
yeah,
you could see that kind of flipping around if the Jazz
totally
lose some more.
Totally.
In terms of rookies, we've had like a full month, maybe almost 2 months sample size for rookies now.
Yeah.
Any standouts for rookie of the year? I know Con Knipple is probably the number one guy. He's been having 30-point games already.
Yeah, I watched a game where Con Knipple played the other day. He's really special. I think he could be one of the steals. Well, I guess you can't really say he's a steal at 4, but he's just a really talented player. I really like him. Kalkbrenner is actually really good for them too. I don't think he's rookie of the year, but they hit on their picks this year. The Hornets did, so I've been impressed by them a lot.
Yeah, I still stand on our Ace Bailey pick.
Yeah, totally.
Of course, he's had a better start to the year, but that's fine. I like Con Knipple because he's from Wisconsin. I did my mission out in Wisconsin, so it's good to see him do well. I'm also impressed with Cedric Coward
for
the Grizzlies.
He's really good.
He's low-key been like their best player aside from Jaren.
They low-key got an upgrade from Desmond Bain.
And he's younger.
Yeah. Better defender, probably. Yeah.
He's like actually been scoring pretty well, which people thought maybe wasn't even going to be his best attribute. And then, of course, VJ Edgecombe, he's still playing pretty well.
I've also really liked, even though his team really sucks, Jeremiah Fears, I think, has played really well.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I see, admittedly, I don't watch a lot of Pelicans games, but I look at their box score every night, and he's just like, he's their starting point guard at this point, and he scores pretty well. So
yeah,
I think he's pretty.
He's
good.
Averaging 16 a game, which is pretty well.
That's killer.
And then Cooper Flagg last night, he had 34 points against the Pelicans. So killer. I don't know what you want to say about that, but. Because the Pelicans aren't that great of a defense, but
I still really like
still
Cooper
a good
Flag.
Game for him.
Yeah,
and yeah,
I think he's still their future in Dallas. But yeah, it'll be interesting how much better he can get.
Yeah, our boy Yegor Demon's been all right.
Yeah,
I don't think anything amazing, but
he's
not
probably
bad.
Been their best rookie, which isn't saying a lot. But
yeah, for the Nets,
because they're probably the worst team in the NBA right now, in my opinion. Lots of trade rumors, though. I know we've talked a lot about him, but Jaws, AD, we've heard a lot. LaMelo, we've heard, might be asking out.
Yeah, that was weird. Like, they asked him if you want to get traded one day. He said yes. The next day, he's like, no. It's like, what? LaMelo's an interesting character.
He's, like, so talented. I really feel like he's got the skill. Him and Ja are kind of the same to me, where, like, they really have the skill to be the best at their position in the league, but it doesn't really feel like they're that like locked into the game. They're just like having fun, which is okay, I guess, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I just don't know how well LaMelo like is a winner.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he could put up great stats, maybe be a multiple time all-star, but I don't know if he Like, I don't know if he plays winning basketball unless, like, you have the absolute, maybe you have the absolute perfect team around him.
Which is weird because it's like, yeah, he's such a skilled passer. Probably, like, when it comes down to, probably the most skilled passer in the NBA, in my opinion. Just, like, what he's able to do on the floor. But, like, I don't know if I believe that he could play with great players. Like, if you put him on, like, I think Houston theoretically would be a good spot for him because they need a point guard, but I don't think that he would fit with those guys who need the ball. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
so, and he can't play. He's always injured.
Yeah, always. He's got AD.
Yeah, it's those big baller brand shoes. Honestly, it probably is.
It probably is low-key because Alonzo hasn't really played consistently either. So maybe
So I mean, yeah. First, he just needs to start playing. Second, he needs to.
Yeah.
Maybe a winning basketball, right? And then Trae Young. I don't know if you've been watching Atlanta Hawks. You probably watched when the Jazz played the Atlanta Hawks without Trae Young. They look pretty good. And so, like, some people are thinking already the Atlanta Hawks might look better without Trae Young than they do with Trae Young. And honestly, they may not be wrong.
I agree. He's a hard one to win with, too. He's so skilled. I mean, probably one of the better scorers in the NBA, too. But it's like, how do you just cut out defense? He's not like Steph Curry where you can put up with a little bit of bad defense because he's a generational scorer. He just, it'd be hard to build around him, I think.
Yeah, and they haven't extended him, so he's like getting more close to being a free agent.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I could see them trading Trae Young, but I think in my opinion, it'd be an overreaction.
Yeah.
Because he's been your guy for years, and you've always been at least average team, and you finally have built a team around him that could be a good team. So I don't know. I feel like if Trae Young is good this year, like their ceiling jumps tremendously.
Yeah.
But without Trae Young, I think this is about as good as they could get.
Totally.
So.
Totally.
I would think it'd be an overreaction if they trade him.
Yeah. One thing that I've been, this is just a trade I'm floating out there. That's kind of an interesting one to me. So Mavericks are probably going to trade AD, in my opinion. I don't know about Kyrie yet. Probably won't trade him right now, but
down the road they might.
Yeah. Seems like they're going to try to rebuild around Cooper Flagg, which I respect. Zion Williamson's also a guy I think's at the end of his rope with the Pelicans. Could we see an Anthony Davis return to New Orleans?
Oh, you want them to get traded for each other? Or possibly?
I mean, I don't necessarily know that I just think it, I just don't know where else AD fits. I don't know if he fits necessarily in New Orleans, but I know they love him there.
The only team that I've heard that I like is Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, that's his hometown.
Yeah, it's his hometown, and they could use AD.
I also don't know how well Zion fits on the Mavericks with Cooper Flagg. Seems like they
but he honestly doesn't fit well like anywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you may as well.
Yeah, that's true. But they could do a three-team trade too. I don't know. Maybe include another team. Maybe the Jazz want to get it. Actually, no, I don't want Zion. But you know,
no, I'm good.
We'll take a pick if you guys want to give it to us.
Yeah, let's take another second.
That's our classic move. So I don't know. It's just interesting. A lot of these guys, the real problem with the trade rumors is that they just don't fit anywhere because they've kind of made themselves into something that not a lot of teams could use.
Yeah, it's hard when you're like that kind of player.
Yeah.
Also, this week I've been thinking a lot, just leaning into that grateful Thanksgiving theme, right?
Yeah.
I'm so grateful we did not trade Lori for Brandon Podziemski.
Yeah.
He hasn't looked good this year, and Lori's like looking amazing. Horrible. It was a real thing last year that we were seriously considering that.
Draymond told him not to do it, is what he's saying.
Warriors fans didn't want to trade Podziemski either. I don't know what we were thinking last year, but I'm so grateful we didn't make that trade.
Warriors fans are one of those fan bases that just seems to think that they need to be able to trade for exactly what they want without giving anything up. It's like, it's just funny. It's like, if you didn't want to give up Podziemski, who did you want to give us? Like, there's nobody else on your roster that we want. Like, obviously they don't want to trade Kuminga for some reason, even though he wants out.
He's going to be gone next year, I bet.
I think so too, yeah.
But anyways, that's something to be grateful for.
Yeah. Something I'm not grateful for, the Mammoth playing pretty horrible basketball right now.
Horrible hockey.
I mean, Jazz, Mammoth, whatever. I guess it's not horrible. We're just on a little bit of a losing streak. Mammoth are now 10-8-3, even though they started like 9-3 or something. That's okay, though. There's been some really close games against good teams, so.
I hope that we kind of, because now we started out so well, now we're kind of just like an average team.
Totally.
I hope we can bounce back, try and get back at least in that wild card playoff range, because we dropped out narrowly. I'm actually going to the game tonight.
Oh, that's right.
Against the New York Rangers, who haven't played that well this year either.
Yeah.
And so I think we could totally get a win tonight and maybe switch things around.
Yeah. Another big game for the Cougs tonight. Probably the game that's going to lock in a trip to the Big 12 championship tonight. I think even if you win this game, even if you lose your last game, I think we're still in because we got the tiebreaker over Utah. So a big game tonight. Cincinnati's going to be a tough out, though. Do you think we can get the dub?
I mean, I thought we could get the dub against Texas Tech.
Yeah.
So I don't want to just like be blindly optimistic, but I do think Cincinnati's not nearly as good of a team as Texas Tech. Texas Tech's probably got a real shot at winning the entire league this year. I think we can win against Cincinnati. Utah pumped the brakes on them when they played. They beat Cincinnati by 31.
Yeah.
Similar to how we killed TCU.
Yeah.
Arizona even beat Cincinnati last week as well. We've beaten Arizona.
Yep.
And so like I think Cincinnati, although they look pretty good to start the year, I think they're a winnable team.
Totally.
And so I don't know. I don't think it'll be as big of a margin as TCU, but I think we'll beat them by like at least 14.
I can see it. Yeah. I'm right there with you. I think it's all gonna matter on the offensive side of the ball. I think defensively, we're good enough. Brendan Sorsby is pretty good. He's one of the better quarterbacks in the Big 12. But BYU has shut down some great quarterbacks this year. Even against Texas Tech, we really like held them. Should have been a much bigger loss than it was. So our defense has been carrying us a lot of games. Offense has got to show up today. But our offense did show up last night, or I guess yesterday. The Cougs just totally throttled Wisconsin. And
ranked opponent.
Yeah. Our boy John Tanjay got to see the Cougs beat Wisconsin again in the same year. Just kidding. I don't know if he was at the game. Maybe he was. He probably was.
Yeah, he's probably watching it either way.
Good win for the Cougs. I mean, what were your impressions of the game?
My biggest impression is the Wisconsin kind of brought it to within 10. At one point, and then AJ got like his fourth foul, third or fourth foul, and we actually went on a run without AJ, which is great in my eyes. Like, because I don't want us to be that team where we suck when AJ's on the bench.
Yeah, totally.
And it was that kind of game where we just went on a crazy run without AJ. Richie was hitting shots. We were playing good team basketball, and it didn't even matter that AJ was on the bench. And that's the biggest silver lining I see from this big win.
I think this is a good one, especially considering like what the team's going through right now. Like Kennard Davis looks like I think we talked a little last week about his arrest, but it looks like it might have been marijuana, which means he probably won't be playing most of this year, if at all. And that was my worry too. I was like, we really can't just be the AJ DeBonta show. We have to play BYU basketball, you know? And I think this is such a great win, especially after that tough loss at UConn where we had it in the bag and just fumbled it at the end. But just really good basketball. I think we could be a great team.
Yeah, I hope it gives us a jump in the rankings too.
Yeah, I hope so.
What did we drop to, like 9 or to something? I think we should jump back up, and then we don't really play that many great opponents until we get to Big 12 play. So I think we'll probably maintain a pretty high record.
We were at like 16 in KenPom, I think. And I hope, I haven't checked since, but I think we probably moved up a little, which is good too. We need to be.
Yeah.
I know the committee uses those rankings a lot, so.
Moop was looking really good as well. I'm starting to learn his name.
Yep.
I'm learning Moop. Yeah, Moop was balling. He was hustling.
Tyler Morris looked really good.
Who's that?
Tyler Morris. I don't know how you say it.
Morris.
The guy from Idaho, big white guy that can shoot.
Okay.
He's pretty good. I like him a lot.
Yeah, but things are looking up for basketball. Yeah. Hopefully we can get a win against Cincinnati.
Totally. Well, thank you for joining us in our episode today. Don't forget to check out our past episodes. We've talked about a lot of awesome things, including a lot of our young guys, what we think the Jazz should do in the future. You can find all those on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. We are there. And don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a rating. Whatever you can do to help, we really appreciate it. And we hope you have a great day.